You're listening to Living Full Out with Nancy Soleri. As a life coach, Nancy can teach you how to stay strong under pressure and work through challenges you face. Being legally blind, Nancy inspires others to be resilient in overcoming obstacles and live full out. You can ask Nancy for advice in your life on relationships, finance, business, health, and more. Just call in at 800-333-0001. Once again, that's 800-333-0001. Now, here's Nancy.
Hello, and thank you for joining us today. I'm Nancy Soleri, and this is the Living Full Out Show. And today we're going to be talking about forgiving and how in life we have to forgive in order to really feel free to move forward and embrace who we want to be and have the relationships we want to have. So we're going to be talking about that. We will be taking your calls. That number is 800-333-0001, and I'm standing by so we can figure out who you need to forgive in your life or maybe ask for forgiveness. Also, in our next segment, we're going to be joined by our inspirational guest, Missy Jenkins Smith. She was actually injured in a school shooting. And how did she bounce back from that injury? Moreover, how did she forgive her shooter? Believe it or not, she did sit down with him, have a conversation, and was able to mend that relationship. How did she do that? We're going to hear from her. Also, if you want to hear today's show again, feel free to go to livingfullout.com. All of our episodes are there waiting for you so you can continue to be inspired. And if you're on the go, check us out in your iTunes or even your the iPhone store. Just go to Living Full Out Radio, and our show will be there for you to keep you motivated. So I am getting word from our producer that we do have a caller on the line. I want to go check in with them. Say hi. Hello. Welcome to the Living Full Out Show.
Hi. I have a question for you.
Uh-huh. So, yes.
Should I apply to new jobs if there's a risk of my current employer finding out and perhaps getting terminated, or should I just stick it out? And
it's a great question. And I am going to raise my hand because I have so been there. So it sounds like this job is really not where your heart is. You're not really excited about it.
Yeah, it's very monotonous and very repetitive, but it's okay pay. I just want to.
But if you had to do this for the rest of your life, does that unmotivate you?
A little, yeah.
Yeah. So what would you like to do?
Well, I'm a welder. The job is welding. So I run production, which is making the same part over and over. But there are different positions for welding where I can make different things, and that's a little bit more. You get creative and needs more hands-on.
So here's the thing. I have two thoughts for you, okay? Number one, I think if you are looking for a challenge, if you are looking to make a change, I say go for it. Life is way too short, okay? But keep in mind, you might go to your current employer first and let them know that you're looking to take on more, that you'd like to make this change. See if they will offer that change to you. Now, if they say, gosh, you're great at what you do, we would love to honor your request, but we just don't have a spot. Well, now they've told you that they don't have a spot. Do you see what I'm saying? So when you start applying to other jobs, they shouldn't be surprised because you technically went to them first and they didn't have a spot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you have to kind of start with the initial relationship that you have with your current employer. And let's say, for example, you don't want to stay there. Maybe it's even something about the company. I would still hint to them what it is that you want, what you desire, so that it's not coming from left field if they should get a call, okay? On the same token, you have to make sure that you stay in a place of integrity because that future employer, they're going to ask, where are you working now? They might call that company. And if you tell them, okay, I'm currently working at this company, but please don't call them, right? They're going to sniff that something is not right. And that right away is going to alert them, gosh, is this an employee we want to have? Because he might do this to us. Do you see what I'm saying? So you really want to take the higher road. You have to kind of complete one relationship before you move on. And that is actually a true scenario in so many areas of our life. That's true for a romantic relationship. That's true in this case with a career. But if you do have that conversation with your current employer, And again, if they don't have a spot, or maybe you tell them your frustrations or why you need a change, if it's something they can't change, they can't fulfill for you, well, then that just green lights you to go ahead and find a new position. Okay? Mm-hmm. But if you do that, I know that you'll be on the right path. But thank you so much for calling in.
Okay, thank you very much for the advice.
You're welcome. Thank you. Have a great day. I'm actually super glad that he called in about that question, because when we consider the span of our life, and we all hope we live to be 100, but, you know, who knows, right? You have to make decisions of integrity as you go. And how you do that is you assess, okay, in my current scenario, you know, who might get hurt if I make this change? How can I communicate more effectively what I want, what I need? And always be willing to ask for it, because if you don't ask, you don't get, right? You have to ask. So I'm getting word from our producer that we have another caller on the line. We're going to go say hello to them. Hello, welcome to the Living Full Out Show. Hello, are you there, caller? How can we help you?
Hi.
Hi. Did you have a question?
No, I didn't have a question. Actually,
okay.
My friend just recommended me
sorry.
That I talk on the show.
Okay, so tell me, what's going on in your life? What's new?
I just started the nursing program at a CSULB.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like super rough.
Okay.
Really stressful.
I admire nurses, first of all. You're going into a very, very purposeful career. But what makes it so tough?
Just the workload, you know? And also, like, actually seeing patients for the first time. Because before this, it's mainly just, you know, like, study. Like, learning what's wrong with the patient and, like, it's all textbook work. But now it's actually, like, getting in there, seeing a patient, and actually having that human interaction is, like, kind of awkward at first. But I feel like I'll get used to it.
So are you wondering how you're going to balance it all? Are you worried that you might not succeed the way that you want? What's the biggest pain, the biggest stress?
I think the biggest stress is just trying to pass. For all my peers, it's just like trying to get through the first semester.
Mm-hmm. So here's what I want you to do.
Also the fact that, like, I have so much work I have to do that it's like I don't have much time to, like, you know, call my parents or, like, hang out with my friends. So, like, it's a lot.
So here's what I want you to do, okay? And I was just talking about this before I took your call, okay? Life goes fast. Okay, this entire morning of my day has gone super speed, okay? Mm-hmm. And although it seems like it's going slow right now, every day is long, in and out, studying, long hours, you know, then you're actually in practice, it will go fast. But you want to make sure that you divide your life up as like an equal pie. So if you have a slice of your pie be career, and you're putting everything into that, that's to be admired. But you don't want to miss out on the other aspects of the pie. Another slice of your pie is going to be your family and friends. You don't want to turn around 4 years later and you've missed that time. Plus, what if tragedy or something should happen, right? You don't want to be so disengaged with those people that you're going to, you know, regret it. There's also another slice of your pie, which is personal time. And I can hear that you're not giving yourself that time either. So here's the challenge I have for you. And don't take this as like a dun, 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 like a serious challenge. I want you to take this on as a positive challenge, because you know you're going into a purposeful career. You know you're a good student. It's just time and effort and you'll get there. Check box. Okay? Mm-hmm. But the challenge is you don't want to let all those other aspects of your life fade away. And it isn't even to say that personal time and family time needs to be done every day. But you need to find a way to put it in either weekly or at least put it in for the month that you feel like you haven't completely written off altogether. okay, really is going to come down to balance and scheduling. But I truly believe if you do that, you'll be just fine. But I want to thank you for calling in, and you asked a great question. And have a great day. And for everybody listening today, if you have more questions, we'll be taking your calls throughout the show. But I want to make sure that everybody stays with us, because in our next segment, we will be joined by Missy Jenkins-Smith. Again, she survived a school shooting, went on to forgive her shooter. That takes an incredible amount of courage, faith, and really trusting yourself. And that is what's required as we live full out. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break. I'm Nancy Soleri. This is the Living Full Out Show. It's all about forgiving. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Dad, this is fun. I didn't think I'd like kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, but I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure.
Tomorrow?
Let's check with Mom. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm going to return the kayak. Let's make sure you have everything.
Yep. Can we walk home?
How about a taxi? 233 North Maple, please.
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Also, find fun activities to do like boating and biking or camping and hiking, plus much more. It's all right in your naturehood.
Best day ever.
A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Don't you wish that getting your child to eat right, move more, and spend less time in front of a screen could be as easy as pushing a button? It might not be that simple, but you do have more power than you know. And you can maximize that power with proven strategies, tips, and tools from the National Institutes of Health's We Can, or Ways to Enhance Children's Activity and Nutrition program. We Can offers all kinds of resources, including fun recipes and activities the family can do together to show you the way to live a healthier lifestyle. We're not saying it's easy. We are saying that it can be done. Take the first step today. Call 1-866-359-3226 for a free We Can Parents Handbook. And be sure to visit the We Can website at wecan.nhlbi.nih.gov for free information, too. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Today, my new dad and I shot off a rocket in the park.
Today, my new son and I failed to shoot off a rocket.
He knew exactly what to do.
It's not work. I had no clue what I was doing.
We set up the rocket.
We set up the rocket.
Hit ignition.
Hit ignition. And then nothing. Sometimes I laugh when I'm frustrated.
Then out of nowhere, the rocket launched into the air.
The rocket did get into the air.
I've never seen anything fly so high.
And then crashed into a kite.
Look out! Look out!
And then the pond.
I'll never forget that day.
I'll never forget that day, even if I tried.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of kids in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things, like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I'd do the same things over and over. Until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Living Full Out with Nancy Solari. With Nancy's expertise, you'll learn how to embrace your potential and strive for success. If you have a question or need further support, send us an email at connect@livingfulloutcom. Now, here's Nancy.
Thank you for joining us. My name is Nancy Solari, and this is the Living Full Out Show. And today we're talking about forgiving and how to take that first step, how to find the right words, and really take that action and be courageous and fearless. Now, our inspirational guest today, Missy Jenkins-Smith, is honestly the perfect example of forgiving. And when I first met Missy, she really stood out to me as someone I wanted to bring to this community, because how she was able to forgive her school shooter. I mean, that is a big leap from, you know, trying to understand and maybe finding internal forgiveness to actually going to the prison, having a conversation, looking him in the eye, and forgiving him. How did she do that? So we're going to hear her story and take in some of her words of wisdom. So I'd like to welcome Missy to the show.
Hi.
Hi there. So Missy, I want to take our audience back a bit, because the school shooting that you were in was back in 1997, which is amazing how fast time goes, but that particular day has kind of been ingrained in your memory. I mean, it was a life changer for you. Can you just briefly tell us, you know, how that shooting happened, where you were?
Yes. I was 15 years old. I was in 10th grade in high school. And that year, on December the 1st of 97, I went to school like any normal day. It was a Monday after Thanksgiving break. And I would always attend a prayer circle at the beginning of school. It was just kind of an awesome way for me and my friends to start our day off in a good way, in a positive note. Well, I got to school with my twin sister, and we both went to prayer circle, and nothing was out of the ordinary whatsoever. We prayed. We said amen. There's probably about 30 or 40 of us in the circle. And after we said amen, I was walking to the middle of the lobby to grab my backpack, same routine I had every morning to head to my World Civ class. But as soon as I made it to the middle of the lobby, at that point, that's when a 14-year-old boy pulled out a 22 and then started shooting at us. Mm-hmm. And the very first thing I saw was not the shooter, but I saw a girl that I knew who was a freshman get shot in the head. And she fell down to the ground. And I guess it was out of shock or confusion. I don't know. But I just basically stood there and I looked at her, and I guess I tried to sit there and make sense of what I was seeing, because I did not see the boy with the gun. Even though he was right there in front of my face, I did not. My eyes were just locked on the person I knew. And I kept staring at her thinking, you know, she's going to get up. She's going to be fine. This is just a joke. And in the middle of me just trying to figure out what was going on, I remember hearing the shots. I was not familiar with guns at the time. And the sound sounded like firecrackers. But to me, it was a joke. It made even more sense that it was a joke. And so as I stood there and stared at her, I remember hearing three slow pops. And then there was a spray, and I was hitting the spray. And I didn't feel the bullet hit me. But what I did feel, which was not any way I would have ever described being shot would be like, but my entire body went numb. I felt like there was like a ringing in my ears. As I fell down to the ground, it was almost like I floated, and even the impact of hitting the ground didn't hurt. I guess I would kind of describe it like fainting in a way. And so once I landed on the ground, my twin sister, who knew a lot more than what I did, she did see the shooter with the gun. She also saw the girl that we knew get shot, which pretty much everyone in the lobby that morning did. And she felt a bullet go through her hair, and it only rubbed the back of her neck. And thank goodness there was no injury to her whatsoever. But she got down on the ground after experiencing all of that and saw me in front of her. And so she crawled over to me, and she hovered over me until he was done shooting. And when he finally stopped, that's when I knew she had an understanding of what was going on. She was staring at something. And I remember asking her many times what's going on, what's happening, because at this point, I still have no clue why I'm on the ground. And that's when she finally told me that there was a gun. And then she told me who did it. And that's when I knew I'd been shot. But I also could not believe she was telling me that this boy did what he did because I knew him. He was the last person that I would have ever said to be capable of something like this.
Well, and you know, as you tell this story, I can tell the nervousness in your voice. I mean, it must sometimes feel like it was just yesterday. And
it, definitely, and, 20, even though it was almost 21 years ago, it does not feel like 21
it's
years.
Still there.
Like 21 years is yesterday. Yes.
And you know, a lot of people prayed for you that day as, you know, the emergency vehicles came and you eventually got to the hospital. What were your injuries?
I was shot through the left shoulder. It being a 22, I didn't know anything about a 22, but now I do. But apparently whenever you're shot with a 22, it bounces around in your body. So when it entered my left shoulder, it did bounce around. It missed every major artery and organ inside my body besides my lung and my spinal cord. It exited out the right side of my back, but didn't even go through the back of my shirt. So they actually found the bullet in x-ray. But my injury is from the chest down. I am paralyzed. I'm a paraplegic. My level is a T4, T5. And my spine is still intact, but I can't feel anything from my chest down.
Mm-hmm. And you know, to be injured in that way and to be paralyzed and know that mm-hmm. that's kind of a lifetime of different struggles, which we'll talk about when we come back from the break. But how did you find peace in your mind, in your heart? We're not talking about the shooter, just in your own body.
Mm-hmm. I think that whenever they took me to x-ray and mm-hmm. I was able to hear how the bullet had missed major arteries, that it was that the bullet wound where it entered my body in my left shoulder was very close to my heart. I started thinking about how I wasn't invincible. Not that I ran around thinking I was, but at 15, you don't think of things happening to you like that. Those things happen to other people. But I was considering myself blessed at that moment. I was getting a second chance at life. I knew that I could have died. There was another girl who was shot the exact same place I was, except she bled internally and died later on in surgery. I was realizing that being paralyzed at that moment was nothing compared to being gone. And I, at that moment, knew that life was short, life is important, and I was getting a second chance, but some were not. And for that, I felt blessed.
You know what? I love that you said that, especially as we go into the break, because while I'm so sorry that you got paralyzed and that the entire shooting even occurred, to be blessed with that moment, that clarity at your age, mm-hmm. that really set the tone for your life. And when we come back from the break, I really want to pick up there because, you know, there was a lot of rehab. There was a lot of changes that you had to make in your life. So we'll come right back after this break and pick up there. And everybody, we're talking about forgiving today, but that's not a snap decision, right? We have to process a lot of the feelings and emotions that we're going through and then to find the right words, but we can. So stay with us. We'll be hearing more Missy's story. This is the Living Full Out Show. I'm Nancy Solari, and it's all about forgiving today. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Living Full Out with Nancy Solari.
There are many sounds in your day-to-day life. There are sounds that wake you up. Sounds that make you smile. Sounds that energize you. And sounds that help you relax. But there are some sounds that can alert you to danger and can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts, now on many mobile devices, use a unique sound and vibration to bring you information about severe weather events, amber alerts, or other emergencies in your area. With critical information from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know, wherever you are. For more information, visit ready.gov/alerts. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
my name is Jeffrey, but people in this town call me Maniac. They call me that because I'm the fastest runner in town. But just because everyone knows who I am doesn't mean I belong. I don't really belong anywhere. You see, I'm an orphan, and I wander the streets just looking for a place that I can truly call home. My name is Maniac McGee, and I'm all alone. Explore new worlds. Read my story in the novel Maniac McGee by Jerry Spinelli. For other great book ideas, visit your local library or log on to literacy.gov. Brought to you by the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
Look for the bare necessities.
The bare necessities of healthy living are easier than you think.
You better believe it.
And the food pyramid shows you the way. With just the right amount of exercise and the necessary grains, vegetables, fruits, milk, and meats and beans.
Just the bare necessities of life.
So eat right, be active, and have fun.
Yeah, man.
For your own path to a healthier you, visit mypyramid.gov.
This is really living.
This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ad Council.
Hi, my name is Nancy Soleri, host of the Living Full Out show. I am excited to let you know that we are now associated with Alexa. If you have Alexa in your house and you didn't know that, go ahead and find Living Full Out because you can hear us anytime you want, and we're there for you to keep you motivated. Go to your app store because we're located there as well. Just look for the Living Full Out radio show. It's important to us that we put out really inspiring programming, but we want to make sure that you have it at your fingertips when you need us most. We never know when those challenges are going to come, when we're going to feel lonely and need that motivation. So just know that when you need us, we're here for you. Check out Alexa, the app stores, or go to livingfullout.com. Here's to you living full out.
What if I could tell you that a full-blown wildfire was going to occur tomorrow, right where you live? Tell you exactly which neighborhoods it would engulf and how fast it would do it. The first thing you would do is talk with your loved ones and make a plan today. It's true, I can't tell you a wildfire will strike tomorrow, but shouldn't you make a plan anyway? Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
You're listening to Living Full Out with Nancy Soleri. As a life coach, Nancy can teach you how to stay strong under pressure and work through challenges you face. Being legally blind, Nancy inspires others to be resilient in overcoming obstacles and live full out. You can ask Nancy for advice in your life on relationships, finance, business, health, and more. Just call in at 800-333-0001. Once again, that's 800-333-0001. Now, here's Nancy.
Thank you for joining us today. I'm Nancy Soleri, and this is the Living Full Out Show. And today we're talking about forgiveness. And it can be a very heavy topic, you know, when we think about the decisions to actually forgive and the emotions that come with that. But there can also be a lot of freedom from it, you know, and knowing that we're taking our power back, that we're controlling our destiny in our life rather than giving it away. And our inspirational guest today, Missy Jenkins-Smith, is a perfect example of processing those emotions, yet reclaiming her life and really going out there and living life full out. So I'd like to welcome Missy back to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Hi, you got it. Now, in the last segment, you did share with us about the shooting in 1997 and how all that unfolded. And you did share with us also that your injuries were that you became paralyzed from the chest down, and pretty much your entire life beyond that day has been in a wheelchair. And I'm just curious, what was the hardest changes that you had to make with this new reality?
I think it was in the beginning, having to learn to live my life again, you know, learn how to do everything again. At the age of 15 and 16, you know, you don't see yourself having to learn to dress yourself again or to even pick something up off the ground. I honestly didn't even know how to use a wheelchair. When I first got in one, and after I got over the injury to my lung, they moved me into a wheelchair. It was kind of a reclining wheelchair because I'd laid flat for so long that sitting up straight was kind of difficult for me in the beginning. It would make me sick. So trying to use a wheelchair was a bit difficult. I even remember knocking into the wall. I couldn't figure out how to turn it. And so I think it was just that helpless feeling. And not only that, but just being a teenager, my twin sister, you know, was still, you know, in a way being a teenager, she was there with me, but she was, you know, we had friends that they would, you know, she'd go to the cafeteria with at the hospital. And so it was those kind of things of having to learn how to, you know, live my life again and get to, I guess, my new normal, if that makes sense,
to
live life and to be
perfect a sense. Teenager.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that makes perfect sense. And whether somebody has a physical disability or challenge, I mean, obviously, you know, you've spent most of your life in a wheelchair. I'm legally blind, but other people have emotional challenges that they face. But
right.
How have you gotten yourself out of those ruts? You know, those pity parties, the moments
right.
that sad song comes on and it just takes us deeper.
Right.
We've all been there. How have you pulled yourself out of those moments?
I've decided that after experiencing something like that, you know, you start counting your blessings. You start, you know, I'm one not to, I don't like to be sad. I like to be happy. You know, the feeling of happiness is amazing compared to sadness and anger. And I had to start learning how to find the good. And I think my motto kind of was in a way to stop listening to myself, but to talk to myself and to tell myself, you know, you might be in a wheelchair, but you still have your life. I saw the use of my arms. There were, you know, even though there were challenges when it came to doing certain things, I could still do them. I think that after I was in the hospital, I went to a camp that was for people who used wheelchairs, and it was kind of an awakening, if that makes sense, because I saw that I was able to do so many things. I water skied, I jet skied, I rode a horse, I climbed a
tree.
Pretty much all those things were things that I never did walking. So for me, I was seeing that I was even doing more in a wheelchair than I did walking. So looking for those positives, it's not always easy, but they're there. Even if you can just find one in that 1 second, you know, you'll be able to create your list of more things. And I realized, you know, there were other situations that people are in that were much, much, much more harder than what I was going through. You know,
I love that you brought that up, because again, it really is a choice and an awakening, as you said. But
right.
I think the fact that you actually took the steps to go eye to eye, see your shooter, and then even the decision to forgive him, what made you do that? How did you find the courage to do that?
I knew him before the shooting. I considered him a friend. It wasn't a best friend. It wasn't someone that I called up and we hung out outside of school, but we were in band together. And anytime I spent time with him, I enjoyed being around him. He was, you know, like a class clown. He was funny. So it was so hard for me to even, you know, see him as this person that created the shooting. But I also knew that it was important for me to not be angry, because anger is, for me, it can be a productive emotion, but in this situation, it was going to be very unproductive. It wasn't, anger and being mad at him was not going to make me walk. It wasn't going to change what happened that day. I'm a happy person. I like to be happy. I don't like confrontation. I don't like conflict. And that was not what I wanted to bring into my life. So even though I saw him kind of as two different people, the person that had attempted to murder me, that murdered some of my friends, there was still that person that I knew that I considered a friend. But I knew that also during that time, there were other school shootings where the shooters had, you know, killed themselves, and he was one of the only ones that was at that at that time that was alive. And I felt like maybe there was something I could even learn from him that I could do, like that I could learn from him and to help others that might make this decision. And so it was kind of, you know, in a way I wanted to speak to him because I wanted him to bring some kind of positive note to help stop this type of thing. You know, I knew that he had to be going through something to make this choice, and there were others that probably were going through the same thing.
I think it is fantastic that you were so open-minded and curious to ask him those questions. And I know that, you know, after that moment, after that conversation, you really dedicated your life to speaking and sharing the word and motivating people and educating people on shootings and all of that.
Right.
But you also shared with me, which I think is important to touch on, because, you know, we all go out there, we go to school, we get our degrees, we have our jobs, we have a life of purpose, whatever that looks like, family, career, you name it. And we just go out there, we do our best, and we think our words, our actions are going to make a difference. But although this happened 20 years ago, just 1 year ago, a school shooting happened very close to your school. And it kind of resurrected all these triggers, all these emotions again. And one of the things that you had shared with me that I thought was so interesting is you went to go see that shooter so that he could give you nuggets of lessons to share with other people. You know, you felt very strongly that you survived for a reason, and being in a wheelchair, you know, obviously visually tells people your story. But I also know that you went through a process of disappointment, because in all of that effort, in all of these 20 years, not that, again, you thought that you were a superhero or invincible, but you were able to stop that shooting a year ago.
Right. It did leave me feeling confused. I had just spoke to the middle school of that school district just a few months prior. And although it happened in the high school, there were so many emotions that went through my head. You know, why didn't I speak to the high school? You know, if I did, would I have stopped this? You know, all those things go through your head. And not only that, but I'm a mom now. I have two boys, one 11 and one 8. And my fear for them was even a bit stronger. School shootings were happening, but this was almost right there in my face, again, telling me that these things can happen anywhere, and that just because it happened in the same town or in the same area that I lived did not mean that we were immune to something like that happening again. And I had fear for my boys. Mm-hmm. And I also saw even the fear in them, because even though they knew mom was a victim of the school shooting, and that I speak about it, it almost like that almost brought it home to them, and that it was a reality at that point even more. I guess to them, what happened to me was a story. But this right here was something that was right there in front of their face.
Wow. And I mean, you know, we hold on to the fact that everything happens for a reason. And obviously this might mean that you need to up that ante, share your story more, you know, to every school, in your district.
Well, I did a little bit more with it. I actually, one of the things that I learned through the years was that meeting other victims of school shootings was something, in a way, healing to me. Being able to even offer the advice to be able to say, you know, you can still live your life. You know, you experienced this, but you don't have to let it overtake you. You don't have to make it a negative thing in your life. And so when this happened, I was able to offer that support. And one of the things that that helped me get through the shooting in the beginning was a support group. And it was it contained other students that were there that morning on December the 1st. And we all talked about our experience. And that was so healing. And so I was able, me and some of the other survivors of the East shooting were able to offer that to these students that they were alone, that we knew what was ahead for them. If they had questions, that they could ask us anything, because we could still live our lives, even though
it's really paying it forward, right? It's taking what you've learned and what you've experienced and kind of educating and supporting the next group. And, you know, Missy, I really want to thank you so much today for being on our show and sharing your story. I hate to say this, but I don't know that school shootings are going away. But I think that your story just reminds us all that, you know, support groups, that we can get through it, that we need to be more alert. Yes. So thank you so much for being on our show today.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And have a great day. Thank you so much.
You too. Thank you.
And everybody listening, well, she shared her story about turning to others for support, finding the courage within to forgive her shooter, and then really dedicating her life to a purposeful career in education of these shootings and how to prevent them and so forth. We all have that ability. So I want you to look within yourself over the rest of the show and just think about where you can up the ante in your life to bring more purpose into your life. And who might you need to forgive today so that you can take that next step and live your life full out? We'll be right back taking your calls. Again, I'm Nancy Solari. This is the Living Full Out Show. It's all about forgiving today. We'll be right back after this break.
Well, Jason, I've got to tell you, you're pretty much everything this company is looking for in an entry-level candidate.
Great.
Your resume isn't quite what we're used to, but you've got a fantastic work ethic.
Thank you.
And I'm impressed by how you carry yourself.
So, should we talk about the job?
What? The job? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I have no way of recruiting or even meeting you. This interview didn't happen.
It may sound ridiculous, and that's because it kind of is. There's a huge pool of talent your company is missing out on. Meet the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Man, we really could have used him.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
The following message is about Medicaid and CHIP, free or low-cost health coverage for kids and teens. Enrollment is open year-round.
Hey, voice lady, give me the mic.
Okay.
Hey, DJ, let's switch up the music. That's better. So listen up, moms and dads out there. There are these programs called Medicaid and CHIP. They offer free or low-cost health coverage for kids. Things like doctor and dentist visits, prescriptions, and shots are covered. All the stuff that keeps kids like me healthy and in charge.
So, as you can tell, a covered kid is a confident kid. And it means confident parents, too. To learn more about affordable health coverage for your family, visit healthcare.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. That's 1-877-543-7669.
Yep, you could do something big for your family today because enrollment is open year-round.
This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
And Sophia.
They're going to jump out of trees. You can't stop them. They'll go down the slide head first. They'll make parachutes out of sheets. They'll balance on things that are impossible to balance on, like the back of a couch or a windowsill or a scooter seat. They'll run with sharp objects. They'll run into walls. They'll climb things that won't hold their weight. They'll put their fingers in places where they could get smashed. They'll drive their tricycles down steep hills. They'll bounce balls off their faces. They'll step on each other. They'll jump on each other. They'll invent whole new ways to put themselves in jeopardy. But one of the most dangerous things kids will do happens while they're sitting perfectly still. Kids who ride in a car without a booster seat are much more likely to suffer serious or fatal injury during a crash than kids in boosters. But amazingly, 80% of all kids who need them aren't in them. After a toddler seat and until they're 4'9", boost your kids and don't let them down.
Go to boosterseat.gov to learn more about the importance of boosters. A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? I'm Andrew Hoffman. I invented the lost cat magnet. Just turn it on and lost cats stick to it. Just listen to one satisfied cat. That's proof. You should invent stuff too. But remember, don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
We are your pets, and this song's dedicated to those people who don't have health insurance yet.
Enroll, we say. We want you to be okay. Enroll, we say. Take care, people, for goodness sake.
take.
Health insurance is now affordable and covers prescriptions, hospitalizations, and preventive care. Visit GetCoveredAmerica.org to learn more.
And take care, people.
Brought to you by Get Covered America and the Ad Council.
To begin forgiving another person, I want you to start with trusting yourself. A lot of times we question, if I forgive them, am I just saying those words, but do I really mean it? You want to really sit with yourself and understand, why are you forgiving that person? What is the ultimate goal? What do you want out of that? And if it is so that you can move forward to have stronger relationships, then you trust that and step forward as you live full out.
You're listening to Living Full Out with Nancy Soleri. Nancy is here as a guide to show you how to rise above obstacles and savor each moment. If you have a question, call in live at 800-333-0001. That's 800-333-0001. And now, here's Nancy.
Thank you for joining us today. I am Nancy Soleri, and this is the Living Full Out show. And we've been talking about forgiving today, and I know our last guest really gave us some great life lessons to take with us in how to courageously step forward. But before we can even get to that point, it's really important to find out the why. Why are we forgiving? And so I want you to start there first today. Before you actually decide what you're going to say and the process and the actions of doing it, figure out why. And do you really, when you forgive that person, do you really mean it? Because don't say it unless you mean it. You really have to be able to walk that walk when you talk that talk, right? We've all heard that saying. But it does start with internalizing within your mind, why am I forgiving this person? Is it so that they can move forward? Is it so that, you know, I feel like I'm getting my power back? What is the why? Now, I'm getting word from our producer that we do have a caller on the line. We're going to go say hello to them. Hi, welcome to the Living Full Out show.
Hi,
welcome to the show. Hi, how can I help you today?
Hi, so I have a question. So I'm 24 years old, and I wanted to ask you if you think it would be too late for me to go back to school and pursue a college degree at this age.
Oh, at 24?
Yes.
Not at all. You should go for it. You know what? It wouldn't matter if you were 34. It wouldn't matter if you were 74.
Okay.
You can never, it's never too late to go back. And honestly, education is one of those things that we should never lose sight of. So even after you go back to school and you get that degree that you're longing for, down the line, you might do an extension course. You might pick up a foreign language. You might learn a new craft. You want to always be learning. So I would absolutely 100% support that. I guess the big juggle for you, and maybe this is why you're holding back, is do you work a full-time job right now? Are there other commitments in your life where you're trying to figure out either how am I going to afford it or how am I going to have enough time for it?
Well, yeah, I'm working a full-time job right now, but the thing is that I've been out of school for like about 5 to 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'm kind of like scared if I'm actually going to, I don't want to just start and then drop out in the middle, you know?
Now, did you start before and dropped out?
Yeah, I dropped out actually my 12th grade year, and then I obtained my high school diploma 2 years after that.
Okay. Now, are you the same person as you were then?
No. Okay. I feel like matured a bit more.
You matured a bit more, right? And so
yeah.
you have to trust that. So I can see why you might ask yourself, gosh, what if I start this and I can't complete it? You have to trust in the fact that you're a new version of you.
Okay.
And sometimes we have to almost sit down with ourselves and be our own best friends. Trust me, I sit down with myself all the time. And it's really about having a conversation where we cheer ourselves on. Sometimes we set ourselves straight. And sometimes we have to say to ourselves, okay, if you're going to do this, really commit to it. And if you say yes, put things in place that are going to protect you. Meaning that if you commit to school and whatever that duration looks like, you might need an accountability partner. You might need a friend or a family member that checks in with you daily, maybe once a week, and is asking you, are you on track? Are you doing your homework? Yes. Yes, I am. Right? You might need a tutor. If you know that there's going to be certain classes that you have to take, but they're not easy, get a tutor. Whatever you need to keep you on course. Only you know that, though. So that's why I say sometimes we have to sit down and have a heart-to-heart with ourselves. Before you make that commitment, have that talk with yourself. Figure out, is this something you really want to do? And if the answer is yes, then go for it. But then think about, okay, what do I need to keep myself supported, protected, and on track? Put those people and support in place, and then go for it. Because life is meant to be lived. How's that sound? You going to go for it?
Yes. Yes, I think I will.
Okay, now one last coaching. I want you to take the word think out. The word think and the word try allows us to be stuck in that gray area where I might, I think, I'm going to try. Say it with more confidence. Are you going to do it?
Yes, I will.
Yes, I will. You got it. Those words we say to ourselves are really important. So I know you're going to do great, and I'll be thinking of you. Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling in. Have a great day. And for everybody listening today, we all have that ability to turn the page, start over, reclaim our life, forgive, whatever you want to call it. It's never too late to start. Start today. Figure out what you need to let those challenges, those obstacles, those burdens on your shoulder, in your mind fade away. It's not easy, but that is why we're here each week. The entire Living Full Out family, we believe in you. We're here to support you each week. We got Rich and Aaron and Riley and Camille and Brianna and so many people that just want to make sure that you are living your life full out. Check us out at livingfullout.com to hear today's show again, or go to Alexa or app stores to hear our show on the go. And again, here's to you living your life full out. I'll see you on the next show.
Thank you for listening to the Living Full Out Show with Nancy Solari. To learn more about this program, visit livingfullout.com for the latest episodes. Connect with the Living Full Out community by following us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and subscribing to our YouTube channel. If you have an inspirational story you want to share, email us at connect@livingfullout.com. Here's to you, Living Full Out.